Last week we talked a little bit about the mitzvah derabanan, the mitzvah deraisa that we talk a lot about, a little bit about the mitzvah derabanan, the kiddush al yayin. So we spoke about what constitutes yayin, and the last time we talked about the luvias, and one has to drink malilukma of the coast. One need not drink the entire coast. One need not even drink over the coast. And well, I say this, somebody shared a role with a special chumrah for different reasons. We have to drink over the coast. That's why the post can point out that the same, you shouldn't have such a tremendous cost. You get drunk by the time Mazik starts. But when it comes to regular fun, nobody holds up to drink over the coast. Only drink over a Vias, which is the Molly Lugmov, that would be sufficient. There's a Mapoikis in Rishonim that whether one person has to drink it or whether you would start a lot of people together. So a lot of people are not so careful about this. If the person makes kiddush, take a little sip, make his little wife, over to the kids, and then a great close a call, but you end up my Lugmov. So the chachila, that's not really right. But yeah, and we remind Rishon, we'll make it on that. But the chachila, one person should drink it, and preferably that one person should become a kaddish himself. In addition to the mitzvah kiddush on Friday night, which is the karon, the mitzvah deraisa, and well, yain is on the mitzvah over. The Gemara tells us in the 10th part of the Psalm, there's a mitzvah to recite kiddush in the daytime as well. The Gemara actually derives from a pasuk. Dafnas Rav Shabbos, the Katshe Yom comes the Rabbos Kiddush Hayayim. But the Rishonim will quickly point out that it's probably only a mitzvah that they're abundant. What led the Rishonim to believe that it's not really a mitzvah they're abundant? So, because there's no real text to it. The Gemara says, all you have to say is the Baruch Priyag Ofer. That's why they called it a Kiddush Rabba. It shouldn't feel insulted. It's really a Kiddush Zut. It's really nothing. It's just the Baruch Priyag Ofer with the Rabban and the Alma. But they call it Kiddush Rabba to make it feel a little bit better. So since there's no real text to it, clearly it's not a real mitzvah min ha-Torah. It's only a mitzvah min ha-Rabbanan. Otherwise, you have to say kiddush by day as well. So there are a few possible differences between the kiddush of Friday night, which is rooted in deraisa, and the kiddush in the daytime, which is only min ha-Rabbanan. The one possible difference would be the gabbai women. It's not 100% clear whether women are chayavos and kiddush in the daytime, because the source that women are chayavos and kiddush on Friday night is shomu v'zocha v'dibarech in the room. Even though it's a Zman Grama, this is the exception to the rule. That the Shema V'Zohar, even though in the Chumash they don't appear in the same place, but since we have a Messiah that they were uttered by Kiddush Baruch at the same time, they take on the status like a Hekesh, as if they're in the same Posel. We do that, really the same Posel, as if they're in the same Posel. And therefore, we have a right, the leadership, and the Greshes, to derive the Lachas one from another. Whoever is obligated in Shir is obligated in Zahir, and Shir plus the first in the Malachas. So the Rishonim raised the question, does that carry over the Kiddush in the daytime? So one could argue that the Medrash Mamurim is a drasha, Shomu V'Zocha, the Berech HaNemun, that's because it's a deraisa, which would include in Zohar. The Kiddush in the day is, at most, the mitzvah of the Rabban, it's not really Zohar, then women should not be included. Then we should fall back on the regular rules of Zman Grama, and the regular rules of Zman Grama dictate the women of Turf, even though it's only a mitzvah of the Rabban. So the Taisus points out, in the very back of brachas, it's clear from the Gemara that nashi pturos from mitzvahs as my grama, even mitzvahs the rabban called the tikkun rabban came there as a tikkun. So that's the view of the Gemara of Chalav and the Masechas Pesachim is how women don't have to make kiddush in the daytime on Shabbos, and I think most people disagree with that. Generally, assumption the Shulchan Aruch is not the way that women do have to recite kiddush in the daytime as well. Why? What's the role of the Gemara of Chalav as svara? So the stomach called the Tikkun Rabban Keder Eisen Tikkun. They were stuck in Kiddush by day, aim the Kiddush by night. Even though it's not really Zohar, but it's a level of the Rabban, which included part of the Zohar, therefore they were Mechayev women in Kiddush and day. That's how we pass it. There is another possible difference between Kiddush at night and Kiddush in the daytime. The Gemara says in the end of Masechet Pesachim that one is not allowed to eat before reciting Kiddush on Friday night. Even if one started the meal beforehand, once it comes back to say Kiddush, so you have to stop and you have to make kiddush. Many people are familiarizing themselves with that halacha. That's what appears at the beginning of the Shem Tech Pesach, or first half of the Kaddish. The Sugg and Mirabar Pesachim, about if a person started the meal, yom, and it comes time to Shabbos begins, so are you allowed to continue the meal? So you are allowed to continue the meal, as long as you make kiddush first. So you stop what you're doing, you stop in the middle, and you cover up the challah, and you make kiddush, and you end up the challah, and continue to eat. So that's what's called first half of the Kaddish. So for most normal people, that's a nice sugya and a tzachim, but nobody would ever dream of doing it. The only problem that ever comes up is a firm fall down on a Friday. So for us, it's very rare, and in Shalayim, it's a little bit more common. So that's a shadow, whether we should go down that route of parsed mouth from the Kaddish. First, one type of proof sugya, so can you invoke this sugya and parsed mouth from the Kaddish? So apparently, in Shalayim, and then you have that practice. So the Zalman apparently had that practice, There are some who follow that view that you do Purim not on the Kaddish. Ramon doesn't quote that. Ramon, who has Purim, quotes when you have Purim on a Friday, like, yes, you should make the Suda in the morning. You should make the Suda in the afternoon. It shouldn't take away, it shouldn't detract from the Shabbos meal. Ramon doesn't mention Purim not on the Kaddish. Apparently, Ramon's opinion, the Purim not on the Kaddish is not like a Chila. It means if a guy, for whatever reason, is having a meal, so then this is the best eight of the Torah. Chila set up itself up. The Purim not on the Kaddish is not right. So again, Yeshua, some Gedali Elam, follow the Nidig, the Shomtam, the Nidig, the Shomayim, and the two parts of the Kaddish next Friday. And fine, most of us don't do it. Most of us do the other option that we did the Suda earlier. But everyone agrees, once this man of Kiddush comes, you're not permitted to eat, not permitted to drink. But that did, you know, that eat or drink before Kiddush, does that apply to Kiddush in the morning as well? That was also Machlokes Yisrael Rishayim. So the Rambam says, yes, the Rambam writes that even though Kiddush in the daytime is only the Rabbanan, they start it with all the chumras of Kiddush at night, and you're not permitted to eat a drink before Kiddush in the daytime either. When we say eat a drink, so that applies even to drinking water. We're not allowed to drink water before one recites Kiddush. The Shema Shabbos Gilchasa quotes that, let's say a person has to drink water, take a pill. Most pills are not allowed to take a shot to them. Sometimes if a person has a status of chayla, so he's allowed to take certain medications on Shabbos, and he needs water. So Shmuel Shabbos writes, that's not considered to be drinking before Kiddush, because since we don't make a bracha on that water anyway, so the Mishnah says in brachas, you only make a bracha of shock when water, it shows a man with simo when thirsty. So when the person drinks water just to swallow a pill, there's no bracha, that's not really considered to be drinking, and therefore that would be okay before Kiddush. But putting that aside, to drink other water, drink either thing or anything else, would be also Kiddush Friday night, and the Rambam says, would be now the Shabbos morning. The right did disagree with it. But the answer only applies to Friday night. Shabbos morning, the Kiddush is so cold anyway, so one would be permitted to eat a drink before that Kiddush. And then we generally don't follow that view either. Those two distinctions that we probably follow neither of them have combined together to create the following phenomenon. There's a thought to use the word minute, but there's an age of practice that a lot of women on Shabbos morning, so they breakfast before the husbands come home from shul, before they're Kiddush. Some women have the Kiddush themselves, but many women don't. So how do we justify that? What right do we have to eat? So if a person hasn't davened yet, so Shulchan Aruch writes that the chiyuv of Kiddush in the morning only kicks in after you finish davening. You finish davening shachar, because not like before davening. So the chiyuv of Kiddush only begins in after davening. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if a person wants to, quote unquote, eat before Kiddush, eat before Kiddush, before davening, that's okay. The only problem is, you can't do that because you can't eat before davening. So, my hand on the kula. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the kula helps for water, because the Shulchan Aruch's opinion of his kula is that you're allowed to drink water before davening. So you're not going to eat that morning, you're allowed to drink water. Not everyone even agrees to that. But the Shulchan Aruch passes you're allowed to drink water before davening. And Mr. Guru discusses, possibly if you can treat tea and coffee, different opinions as to what you are and not allowed to drink. Certain very, very limited things you may be permitted to drink on a regular day before davening. So whatever you're allowed to drink before davening, you're allowed to drink before davening Shabbos morning also, because that's not called drinking before Kiddush. But since you haven't davened yet, so you're not just chayv in Kiddush. That's chayv in Kiddush. So the rest of the year, so drinking doesn't kick in yet. So you have a strange thing. You can drink something before davening on Shabbos morning, but the minute that you finish davening, then you can't drink. Because once you finish davening Shabbos, then you're just chayv in Kiddush. Once you're chayv in Kiddush, then this is the moment to eat a drink. So the problem is that a lot of women, you know, they're not interested in waiting till the husband's come home to talk about to make Kiddush. So they want to eat something, but much of something before here. So many women go ahead and do that. The question is, how can we justify that? Isn't there no more to eat or drink before Kiddush? So some folks can wonder in Malamut's course based on a few different factors together. Number one, we're not 100% sure the women are chayav some Kiddush in the daytime altogether. And we're not sure that there's a real issue to eat before Kiddush in the Shabbos morning anyway. And then there's another tzav of hope that Moshe's famous kula. Moshe writes, especially for a married woman. So Moshe writes that a married woman only becomes chayavas in Kiddush when the giyas man suda. The same way the Tosafot writes that you know you're not chayav in Kiddush until the man suda comes. The man suda can't begin until after the davening. So Moshe writes that for a married woman, this man suda hasn't arrived yet because she's not allowed to sit down without a husband. Sure, because the Shabbos do with the husband. So, since he's not really supposed to be eating now, the Bahar is not he gives Mansuda. So, certainly for the man before davening, it's not he gives Mansuda. For the woman, the married woman before her husband comes home from shul, it's for he gives Mansuda. And therefore, she's not Chayyam's in Kish. Never the Yisra doesn't apply. So, it's these three factors that a lot of women, especially married women, are pretty make a lot. It's not as great as Muslim. But the best thing is she should take a cup of grape juice in the kitchen, or also a piece of cake or something. If she doesn't want to do that, so then there are grounds to do that.
Does the answer of drinking start after Shachas or after Musaf?
After Shachas. We have to, technically, you're allowed to eat before Musaf. And that's like a whole suda before Musaf, but you're allowed to have a rye before Musaf. That's why a lot of shuls, not the shuls, the yeshivas, when they eat before the Keshef and the Shishana, so they have Achilas Arai, which also right, but Achilas Arai means less than a kibetza. So they have less than a kibetza cake, so that would be okay. Remember when I was in Yikam the Avner, so on Rosh Hashanah, we still have Kiddush there?
Yeah.
Did they measure the cake? Remember when they used to measure the cake, you're only entitled to one piece of cake. There's more because I less than a kibetza. The mamash cut it to piece, so it shouldn't be a chashash eating before the Amin Musaf. Another post can say that the Isra of Achilas Arai before Musaf is like the Yisr before Davi Meir. Right? It's like the Yisr of you're afraid you're going to forget. I mean, who's going to forget the Davos? 300 guys together. They're going to forget the Davos, forget the whole shuffle. They're going to eat the extra three pieces of cakes. Everyone's going to forget. The cake isn't so good. The stomach will remember the whole shuffle. So that's a question. That's the Shiloh, whether there's an outright Yisr to eat before Musaf or Chilas Keva. Is it a pure quantitative amount, or it's more of a more of an idea, you get afraid you're going to forget. This is the Shalom Simchus Torah. A lot of shuls make Kiddush. If the people get their aliyahs and they go outside their Kiddush, and they haven't done a Musaf yet. So some don't like that practice. The reason why many shuls have the practice, you know, compass, he's been waiting until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So they want to give people a chance to eat a little bit before Chatzais, a little bit of Simchus Torah back in Kippur, a little kachas. So some of the Irish, that's not right. You only have a very small piece of cake before Musaf. And others say that. But you're not going to forget that Davos Musaf. And if one guy in his own house sits down, has lunch, then you may forget the Davos Musaf. But it's not going to happen over here. I remember this past Rosh Hashanah. So we were first trying to figure out what the scheduling, what the complicated and nuances of scheduling in Yom Kippur. It's COVID, myself. So there was a possibility that was tossed around with some shuls. I'm having multiple shifts for davening. I'm having like a seeking minion to come, and they would daven from 9 to the daven from 6 in the morning till 10:30. And then the next shach was just start at 10:30. They go from 10:30 to 2:30. And one of the problems was that if you can time it that way, so then the set groups can miss man kriyah, man tefillah, miss everything. So there was an idea that was being tossed around was. Maybe we should stagger the minyan. We should have one group should come and daven shacharis from 6 to 8:30 to shacharis, and then they should go home. And then the next group should come to daven shacharis, and they should come home. And the first group should come back to daven musaf, and they should go home. And the next group should come back to daven, and they should go home. So you never have a full more than 25% people in the shul at the same time. So part of the chayv was that you have some chaver to daven musaf, which is starting musaf at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Shoshana. So the question was, are you allowed to eat? I thought at the time that maybe we could even justify the mamash eating lunch first. Because if you set up a big sign on your door that says, don't forget to go back for a shot, not much of a kish. So if you're home and those posts that say, the issue of eating before Musaf is not, it's just an issue to get it out. So between you and me, how many people here eat supper sometimes before my nobody? Okay, so there it is. It goes on your phone. I always have a thing on my phone. It goes off. It's set every night to go off to remind me to not in the night. So we eat good in many a make a lot of money. It's that and make good in many a make. The whole of the issue, the whole Muslim is getting that issue. You put enough, mascara around, that should be good enough. It's like everyone gets lots of hits they don't want to eat before they bench Hankalah. This is a beautiful chanukah. It's not more chomer than eating before Meir, but you have an appreciation there. I said, there's time to go to the Rabban. The chanukah everyone gets all nervous about it. So remember, when we got married on the third night of chanukah. So I was a little concerned that we weren't going to get a lot of neighbors until much, much later that night. And a lot of it was a three or Tuesday night. A lot of people coming from work, we wanted to elect the neighbors to come over for the night. So I was a little bit concerned and we marshal people and sit down with the old cast in the elbow. There before the neighbors. So we built into the system a mosque. So we had the band every hour. So we give an announcement if anyone's leaving. Please remember when you get home first to do the light day class. We had an official formal. It was before everyone was walking around with cell phones beeping all over the place. So that was the old style of announcements. But Right, back to the story. So we have a few possible differences between the Kiddush Deraisa Friday night and Kiddush Derabanan of the morning. Another possible difference would be how lenient we're going to be about making Kiddush and other beverages. So the general rule, we don't like making Kiddush and other things. Kiddush is supposed to be in wine. In the Chodesh of Shanim, we don't have wine, can we make Kiddush on bread, Kiddush on challah. So we reserve that for Shas Ha'cha. The same with Chavetz Chaim, very often in the Kiddush and challah because he couldn't afford wine, but no wine around him. But for most of the Hashem, they have wine and grape juice, they make Kiddush normally, but if a guy's not Mishmar Mishpat, then he can make Kiddush on challah. But remember, the only time I remember making Kiddush on challah, I remember I told over the story once, that I was in an event on a Friday night, 500 people there, and the person who made Kiddush, the whole TV couldn't hear anything. So I wasn't really into this Kiddush. So I felt very bad because I didn't want to make a whole to do it. There's one public Kiddush for everybody. I don't want people to think. I firmly was not the bracha. So it was very embarrassing to go to the kitchen and ask your grandkids to make my own Kiddush. So it was years ago before that. So what I did was I made Kiddush in the hallways. I sat down and I went to call the table. So nobody saw what I was doing. My hand over my mouth. What if you don't have a wine, you want to make a Chama Medina? So we're very nervous about making a Chama Medina. Shabbos morning, maybe there's a little bit more grounds to be making. Chama Medina is also not so clear what Chama Medina is. It's the beverage of that location, not regular wine. It's not exactly clear what included is and what's not included. So there's a minig in many communities, especially the Finnish communities, that they make Kiddush and schnapps on Shabbos morning, or really Friday night, or Shabbos morning. So many communities, many people in the minig are making Kiddush and schnapps. So a lot of the, it's not the Shigabari, we're very against this on multiple grounds. First of all, chachir, if I'm supposed to make on wine, so others respond, but schnapps is more chodiv to you, you really want schnapps, okay. So others, the side of the Shigabel also were against this custom. They said that, but you don't have a levius and you're not drinking more lubav. You're just taking a little bit of a schnapps and not drinking that much. So some acharonim came up with this idea. Chazar responded to this and said that you don't really have to drink more lubav or schnapps because the whole idea of drinking more lubav is it should be a sachashiva, should be something. So a little drop of schnapps is the equivalent of a volume of a wine. So wine is not such a chashuv drink. You have to beef it up a little bit. Schnapps is a little bit more intoxicating, so then even a smaller amount would be okay. This is like when you go for your driver's license, you have to remember what the blood content is of one ounce of liquor to 4 ounces of wine, to 8 ounces of beer, something like that. Some kind of a ratio. So that's what the Taz is saying, what you require in wine, you get away with less of it in terms of the schnapps. So other posts came to them and said, that's good in terms of the amount that you're drinking, but you have to have a kesha levius. It's not a levius, it's nishki kesha bracha. So some posts can want to justify that also and say, no, but it doesn't really have to be a levius either. It's a little schnapps, but that's what we don't love to see the finishes. This is Kiddush in the daytime. Okay, bye. So not so of schnapps. That's a big problem, according to a lot of posters. First of all, schnapps are not wine. The chachri is supposed to be wine. Number two, it's not a release. Number three, you're not drinking more than one. So a lot of problems with that. So it's not the best way to do those. If your grandfather makes Kiddush on, you guys are your great grandfather. from Europe. The old generation used to make Kiddush on schnapps and schnapps morning. So some old minig of a sign to be a dime used to make on schnapps. So we don't have such a round minig kavua and chik lo yavar. So the more correct thing is to make Kiddush on
morning. For instance, we also make a bracha for Ramah, for
Sure. We only make bracha for Ramah Revius anyways. We malum is not. Okay, there's another requirement of Kiddush, another din that permeates Kiddush, both Kiddush for night and Kiddush for day, and that's the din of Kiddush Machom Suda. It's actually the quickest on the run, we didn't have a Pesachim, whether you can just make a freestanding Kiddush, or whether you have to have a Kiddush in the context of a Suda. So we pass Kiddush like Shmuel, this is one of the strange times, we pass like Shmuel, even though it's in the head there, all the other way on the run, so I would Shmuel the end Kiddush of the Machom Suda. Where did this idea come from in Kiddush Machom Suda? So the Rashbam and Rabbi Pesachim quotes two reasons for this halacha. One is the Rashbam says, because since they were Kedeh, Kiddush al-Yayin, so they were Kedeh al-Yayin Choshev. The whole goal of upping the ante, beefing it up and making it on yayin, is to give it more chashivas. When is wine kosher? And you make a toast, you sit down with a meal, you sit down with a cup of wine, the part of a cup of meal, that's chashivas. The guy's on the run, takes a cup of wine and runs out the door, so that's minimal. So the whole goal of the Kiddush HaYayin is being defeated. That's one reason the Rashbam says. The other reason the Rashbam says is the base of the Tosk in the Navi Shiel, the Karas Vashab Sponeh, the Mahum Kriya Shantay Onyeh. But the Navi is comparing, connecting Kriya, which is the Kiddush, and the Onyeh, which is the Suda, so you require En Kiddush El Mahum Suda. And those are two official reasons that appear in the Rashbam. Let's say a person mixed Kiddush, a little Mokum Suda, is that any worth whatsoever? So that's the Machlokes in the end of the Rosh, at the end of the set of Pesachim. So the Gemara tells us that whether he's ever practiced in the days of Chazal to make Kiddush in Shul, that's the Gemara, they're making Kiddush in Shul for the night. So the Gemara says, why? The old Kiddush Mokum Suda, what are they making Kiddush in Shul for? It's not Mokum Suda, so the Gemara says, well, these three guests would eat in Shul. So the Chaz would get up at the end of the night and they Kiddush to the night together. They did. Everyone would go home and the guests would sing Shabbat and would have their meal. I'll smach the Kiddush that they heard at the end of the night. And that was the Kiddush Mokum Suda. So the Rosh and Abed Tzachon raised the question, if we don't have guests anymore, we're eating Shul. If I guest to our house, we're sitting in Shul. So what are we making Kiddush for in Shul anymore? So the Rosh says, maybe you should stop. The Rosh called someone saying, maybe you should stop. So Brahma Adala. So different Rishon try to defend the practice, but many shul, even on the Amazon, many shul that still make Kiddush and Shul, even though nobody's eating there anymore. So some Rishon say it was a Takona. Takona is a Chalf, a Chalf, a Chalf, even though everyone knows how to have it today. The original Takona was made for the Enim Kiyam, so we keep it up today. So some Rishon say it was a formal Takona in the Kiddush and Shul. Another Rishon say, oh, you know, there's no more such a Takona. The Gemara Pesachim doesn't record the Takana. The Gemara Pesachim is recording with the practice that anybody wants. So there's no one in Shul. So what's the justification to recite a Kiddush? The Rosh goes to the Ben Yena that there are a lot of people who would come to Shul who rush it. They didn't know how to make Kiddush when they got home. They didn't know how to read. So they wouldn't make Kiddush when they got home. So the Ben Yena writes, the least of the Yetzi something, give them some Ashu Kiddush. Hi, it's not going to be Kiddush Bochum Suda. Okay, it's better than nothing. So, and that better than nothing is enough to justify us right inside of the bracha. It's not a bracha at all. Still, we have no choice. You won't be able to have a suda, so at least you gain something. The Kiddush Shalom Bakum Suda is not meaningless. And the Rosh disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. The Rosh writes, no, he said, Kiddush Shalom Bakum Suda is not meaningless. We should bracha at all. We don't want to make Kiddush. I can see a house in the kitchen. It's giving food and sugar. You can't make Kiddush and send them home with nothing because it's Mamisha bracha at all. So it's not like in the end of the rush, is the Kiddush Shalom Bakum Suda mamish gornish, mamish bracha at all the or there is some. Significance. There's some deeper meaning to it in some shape or form. But my sense is different than other clients saw today about making Kiddush in Shul. So the minig in Eretz Yisrael, which is my quote at the minig, when he was in Eretz Yisrael, nobody makes Kiddush anymore in Shul. And I'm sure he wants to Kiddush in Shul. In America, it's the issue. Some Shul do it, some Shul don't do it. Remember Rabbi Willing, he told us that when he came to Yehudah Rivendell. Most people think Rabbi Lulu was a founding rabbi of Yehudah Rivendell. Not true. I grew up in Rivendell. I remember the rabbi before Rabbi Lulu. It was about 50 years ago. So I really came, he was one of the early years of the Jew, but he was not Mamash Rapshi's first rabbi. So some of them in Hungary had already been started. So when he came, so one of the rabbi was that they followed that. Yekesh a minute. Today that they still make Kiddush and Shul. So I think it was there. Best of my knowledge. Emily, live it up.
I was there over the summer. Over the summer, he didn't make because of Corona.
All right, okay. We don't make a Kollel Shul either. But I said, but in Shul, they normally do, right? Normally they're right. So this has been going on for over 50 years. So when we started our Shul in Bergenfield, so I remember it was like a funny feeling because we had to command and hug it. It's a strange thing to start a shul. Most shuls don't start from scratch. Right? Most shuls are breakaways, are split offs. So then, not so many shuls don't start literally Yesh Be'ayin. So we start the shul Yesh Be'ayin. So I remember yesterday, we were doing a whole bunch of different things. We have to be kaden and hug him. So I remember he said to me, he was jealous of me. He said, I was never kaden and hugging him. So it's rough 50 years. He said, I was not kaden and hugging him. Hugging when I came, I kept. And, makes a few tikkun here and there. But the basic tzur of the menhagim were, that's in the domain of the first rabble. So I said, so we a little bit of a pachad. So one of the hagim that we decided was an after the kiddush. After the kiddush, most of the shuls, probably most shuls in America don't do it anymore. Many shuls don't do it anymore. And if, so nobody does it anymore. She was the zikha don't do it. So we didn't adopt that. I remember I was learning Kambi Avner. So usually Kambi Avner is not there a few days before Tisha B'Av. One year that the Rebbetzin, Goldberg's wife, who was out of surgery, usually she would leave, like towards the middle, to the end of the summer, to the end of the year, then is not, he would usually go to America with money and the dinner, and he would usually go to Switzerland for a little bit, because he had a serious heart condition. It was very, very hot, you know, in July, and we have that. The doctors liked to get a little cooler climate, so that was when he would go a little bit on vacation. In America, just to go home anyway, after the Israelis were in the army already, so she was just kind of winding down at the end of Thomas, and she would usually leave at that point. But there was one summer where his Rebbetzin needed surgery, so he wasn't able to leave. So he was in yeshiva, and yeshiva was supposed to end. Hey, God, I am whatever it was, they took the days for Tishva. So yeshiva asked the Bachim, maybe 30 of us left at that point. So he asked us, he said, would everyone stay till the Tishva? Who's going? Where are you going? He said, where are you going? Let's have a Tishva for yeshiva. And then he said, you never have? We'll be getting to carry on. You never had a formal Tishva for yeshiva. He said, okay. Said, no. So we all stay. So I remember, so we got in Meyer, that night in this marriage, we got in the Meyer. And then it came time for Eicha. But different than Hogim about, some kind of Shiskabo before, you have to different, whatever different Hogim that play out on Tishkov, right? I told you, Mirga Mokum. Remember, Shiva turned to us, and we were a bunch of kids, 19, 20 year old, bunch of, we were mostly Americans at the time, well, a handful of Americans, but Tekka was Israelis. And the Shiva turned to us, and he says, there's not many pony. The Tishkov, about Tishkov, we come to Shiskabo, we says, it's not many. He said, I'm probably, no. He was very into Tishba. We sure weren't good at Tishba. We are a little half of that. So she just started running. I'm born with she. But she was, I remember, he was like standing there. Like, he was doing himself. Remember, like yesterday, this goes back 35 years ago. No, I said yesterday, he's standing there. A bunch of Americans standing around, standing by the bima. And he says, ah. A minig. Tzrichim the kvoya minig. So the way I think of it is, I'm not claiming this, a minig, so I should have come to Yad Hashem. Because we weren't sure what we're supposed to do. Like, what do you do? Kvoya minig. I said, I remember this one. Tzrichim the kvoya minig. The kvoya the minig. I've got the minig. Whatever it was. Anyway, so bottom line is some shoes. Who's the kid for not some shoes? Don't take it for what you do. Not many gets the kids and many whatever. Yeah, okay. Kamal Alvin. Great, Tamachov Mashiach of Anik. Well done. Okay, good.